The parables of the unshrunk cloth on an old garment and new wine in new wineskins. This year, we're starting a series on the parables of the Messiah. And there's approximately 40 parables. So Lord willing, we'll be going through them in order, starting now as they appear in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Lord Yeshua is known for teaching in parables. Why? Why did he teach in parables? Several reasons. A parable is a story that is easy to understand, which is used to explain things that are harder to understand, especially, in our case, spiritual truths. Parables are interesting. They're easy to remember. Messiah taught in parables to make the truth clear to those who were willing to hear, and at the same time, to obscure the truth to those who lacked genuine spiritual interest. Revealed the truth to those who were genuine, obscured the truth from those who were not. The first two parables. Don't use new cloth to patch an old garment, and don't put new wine into old wineskins. These parables are found in Mark chapter 2, Matthew chapter 9, Luke chapter 5. I'm using Mark chapter 2. First, the background for the parables. Let's turn to Mark chapter 2, verse 18. Now, John's disciples, that's John the Baptist, and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Yeshua, "How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours, your disciples, are not? How is that? Why?" The Pharisees were the religious elites of the Jewish people of that time. The Pharisees were very serious about their religion, very dedicated to practicing their faith. John the Baptist was the first prophet in 400 years. He was also the forerunner for the Son of God. John called the nation of Israel to repent so that we would be ready for the Messiah when he arrived. John was very serious about his religion. He was very dedicated to practicing his faith. His disciples were also very serious about practicing their religion. Even though the Jewish people were only required to fast one day a year on Yom Kippur, John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fasted much more frequently. How often? In another parable, Yeshua said this: two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." I fast twice a week. Based on the Lord's words here, it is reasonable to think that some of the Pharisees fasted twice a week And I think many others fasted once a week. John's disciples probably fasted weekly as well. It was common knowledge among the Jewish people that fasting was part of the religious practices of the Pharisees and of John's disciples. People also knew that Yeshua and his disciples were serious about practicing Judaism. However, they did not fast. Why wouldn't Yeshua's disciples fast like John's disciples and the Pharisees, who were so dedicated to practicing their faith? Were Yeshua's disciples less dedicated than the Pharisees or John's disciples? Messiah knew the answer. Yeshua answered, "How can the guests of the groom fast while he is with them? They can't, so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the groom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast." Yeshua knew who he was, the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us, the seed of the woman, the Redeemer, the Messiah, the Lord, the Savior. Yeshua understood who he was, and he understood his importance. He understood the significance of his life and his ministry. He understood his mission to proclaim the good news about himself, to reveal God in a greater way than God had ever been revealed before, to die a sacrificial death, and then rise from death so that human beings could be reconciled to God. Yeshua understood he was in the process of making a new covenant, a new and better relationship between God and people because of his divine and human natures, because of his sinless life, because of his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and the giving of his Spirit. He understood he was in the process of making a new covenant between God and human beings. He understood he was in the process of creating a radically new community of the sons and daughters of God, made up of the faithful remnant of Israel and the peoples of the other nations who would join us. He understood that his arrival on earth was momentous. It was the culmination of 4,000 years of divine preparation. With his arrival, a new age of the world was beginning. He understood that the Son of God becoming a man and living among us was a thing of extraordinary importance. It was a great thing, an amazing thing, a wonderful, awesome thing, an exceedingly joyous thing. So why would his disciples fast, which is more in keeping with sadness and mourning, when Emmanuel, God with us, was with them, revealing God to them in a greater way than God had ever been revealed before, teaching them extraordinary things, doing many great miracles, and proclaiming the true message of hope and salvation and eternal life. With such momentous things happening and radical changes on the way, it was not a time for practicing religion as usual. Fasting, while all these great things were happening, was as inappropriate as guests fasting at a wedding. However, Yeshua also knew that things would change. He would die. He would be taken from his disciples. Then, after he returned to the right hand of God his Father, then it would be appropriate for his disciples to fast, but certainly not while he was still with them. That's the background for Yeshua's first two parables. Here's the first parable. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. Clothes deteriorate over time. They wear out. They fray. They get holes. And they need to be patched. After they have been repeatedly washed, the cloth shrinks. If an old garment develops a hole or a tear, and new unshrunk cloth is used and sewn on the older garment, the old and new cloths will shrink at different rates. The new cloth will shrink faster and pull away from the older cloth, which shrinks at a slower rate. That will make the tear worse. Therefore, old garments should be patched with old cloth. Old garments should not be patched with new cloth. This is easy to understand, right? So what are the truths that are harder to understand? The spiritual truths that Yeshua wants us to know. The old garment is the Judaism of the old covenant, the Sinai covenant, including traditions that were associated with it, like fasting. The new cloth is the Judaism, or the Christianity, to me it's the same thing, of the new covenant. The new covenant must not be considered to be like a patch, like a minor addition to the old covenant. It's too new. It's too important. It's too radically different to be just a patch on something older. Messiah's second parable reinforces these truths. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins. Most of you know that I like wine. I enjoy drinking wine. I like learning about wine, and there's a lot to learn about wine. There's like a whole world of wine and winemaking and different grapes, and I find it fascinating. I even know a little about making wine. I've made some of my own wine. Wasn't very good, but I did make it. When wine is being made, yeast eats the sugars in the grape juice, and a gas, carbon dioxide is produced. If this fermentation process takes place in an enclosed container like a wineskin, the gas produces pressure on that enclosed container. If an old wineskin is used, the new wine can create enough pressure on the old wineskin so that it bursts, and the wine and the wineskin are both ruined. Old wine can be safely put into old wineskins. New wine needs to be put into new wineskins. This is easy to understand. Yes? What are the spiritual truths Yeshua wants us to understand that are harder to understand? The old wine and the old wineskins are the Judaism of the Sinai Covenant. The Sinai Covenant had teachings, the wine. The Sinai Covenant had forms through which those teachings were expressed, the wineskins. The new wine and the new wineskins are the Judaism, or the Christianity, to me it's the same thing, of the new covenant. The new covenant has teachings that are new and powerful and radically different from the teachings of the old covenant. Those new and powerful and radically different teachings need new forms through which they can be expressed. If the teachings of the new covenant are forced to fit into the same old forms of the old covenant, it just won't work. Think of it this way. Think of the old covenant, the Sinai covenant, as the constitution of the chosen people. We had just been rescued out of slavery in Egypt. We were a nation of slaves who were newly freed. God was creating a new, free, independent nation. We needed laws. We needed a constitution. Think of the Sinai Covenant as the constitution of the chosen people. Its laws govern the economic life of the nation, the political life, and the religious life of the nation, and the institutions of the nation of Israel. God designed the old covenant, the Sinai Covenant, to regulate the entire life of the chosen people. The new covenant, however, was designed by God not to govern the economic and political and religious life of one nation, Israel, but to govern the faith of chosen individuals from all nations, chosen Jewish individuals and chosen Gentile individuals. There's a big difference. The new covenant is radically different from the old covenant. And the way it is expressed must be radically different. The focus of the new covenant is radically different from the focus of the old covenant. The focus of the new covenant is Messiah. Messiah dead. Messiah risen, Messiah alive, Messiah at the right hand of God, full of life and power. The focus of the new covenant is about Messiah living in us, the hope of glory. The old covenant was about laws and rituals and ceremonies and institutions like the temple and the priesthood and the sacrifices. Very different. The new covenant is different from the old covenant. The new covenant is not focused on commandments and rules and regulations and ceremonies. It's not about what we eat, like it was for the Jewish people, or what we drink, or what we wear, like it was for the Jewish people, or what we taste, or what we touch. It's not about Sabbaths, like it was for the Jewish people, or holidays, like it was for the Jewish people, that we might choose to observe or not observe. The new covenant is not focused on laws and observing laws. It's a message of freedom from laws and observing laws. The new covenant is about having a radical awareness of God's reality. It's about having a sense of wonder, amazement about the reality and presence of Yeshua in our lives, and the salvation he brings, and the power he brings to enable us to live a righteous life. The new covenant is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's about having all of our sins forgiven. It's about being reconciled to God. It's about having the Spirit of God taking up residence in us, living in us, creating a new nature in us. It's about being born again. It's about being a child of God. It's about being filled with the Holy Spirit, being led by the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, living in the Spirit. It's about being alive to God in our hearts, aware of him at a very deep level, thinking about him, talking to him, communing with him. It's about having a new love for God and a new love for people. It's about being filled with the Spirit of God so that we are able to love God and love people. The new covenant has a radically different way of living for God. A radically different way of sanctification. Holiness, becoming holy, becoming pure, becoming sanctified. This way of living for God, this way of holiness, is not based on laws. On thou shalt not. It's not based on the 613 commandments. It's not even based on the 10 commandments. It's based on being filled with the Spirit of Messiah and becoming like our holy Messiah. When facing a temptation, we pray, Lord, fill me with your Spirit so I have the power to resist the things that are tempting me. Walking by the Spirit, living with the Spirit, is the way to overcome the desires of the old nature, not trying to follow laws. Not understanding that the new covenant is radically different from the old covenant was the problem of the party of the circumcision, those early first century Jewish believers who insisted that the new Gentile Christians be circumcised and follow all the laws of the old covenant. Not understanding that the new covenant is radically different from the old covenant was the problem of the Galatians, who started their faith walk by hearing the gospel with faith and receiving the Spirit, and then got sidetracked into Torah observance and legalism, not understanding that the new covenant is radically different from the old covenant. Is the problem of the legalists of today, like the Seventh-day Adventists and the two-house lunatics and other groups of legalists who are among us today? Not understanding that the new covenant is radically different from the old covenant is the problem of many of the congregations in the Messianic movement today, which focus not on Yeshua and being filled with his Spirit, but focus on Torah observance. Their worship services mimic Orthodox Jewish worship services and add a little patch of Yeshua to it. New wine needs new wineskins. You should not force new wine into the old wineskins. Don't take a patch of new cloth and put it on an old garment. It'll make the tear worse. It just doesn't work. Let's pray.